Our loving Father and our God, we come before you this evening thanking you for just taking us through this period of time where we could look at the book of Revelation and the hope that it offers. We thank you for Pastor Curtis's willingness to come here and share the good news with us, the truths that are contained in your word. Father, as we come to the close of our series, we ask that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to be open and receptive to the words that you will bring to us. Father, we ask that you anoint him, that you continue to strengthen him and guide him. Father, when we leave from here tonight, may we truly realize that we have been with you. Father, there are those of us who are in the valley of the decision, contemplating what we should do. I pray tonight, dear Father, that as we listen to these words, that your Spirit will convict our hearts and our minds to surrender ourselves to you so that we can be used by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's hard to believe that two and a half weeks went by already, and all time does fly. And I was looking over some of my topics that I was putting together, and I realized that I created some of them back in 2001, and I didn't realize that that much time has gone by since I've been doing these kind of meetings. But it's really exciting for me, and it's a real privilege, it's a joy. And I really love sharing God's word and doing these types of things, because to see your faces light up when you realize a truth for the first time, it just floors me. And it's exciting to see how God transforms lives just by simply learning his truth. So let's go ahead and get started tonight. We're going to look at what is heaven really going to be like. Any of you ever have visions of what heaven may look like? Have you ever thought about heaven? Have you ever dreamed about heaven? Have you ever contemplated what heaven will be like? You know, for a brief moment in our life, we can get a taste of heaven just by simply coming together as a church family. The church family is a place where we can all agree upon one thing, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We can also recognize that Jesus has redeemed us and saved us from our sins, meaning that we are all equal. Black or white, yellow, green, whatever, we're all equal in God's sight. Amen? And so we can get a piece of heaven when we fellowship together in God's house. And you know what? If we can't get along here, we're not going to be able to get along up there. So we better start practicing how to get along here. Amen? So let's go ahead and get started. What will heaven really be like? When I think of heaven, I remember I have a vivid picture in my mind. And I don't know why this picture comes into my mind, but this is what I often think of, okay? In heaven, I'm assuming that I will be able to fly. And I'm going to shoot straight up into the sky as far as the universe will take me. And then I'm just going to free fall back to the earth. And then when I get a foot just to the ground, I'm going to stop and then just kind of step down back on earth, right? I don't know why. I've always had that picture in my mind. But if I can do that, that's what I'm going to do. But the very first thing that I want to do when reality sets in is that I'm going to have my robe of light on, right? So I'm going to pick up my robe of light, and I'm going to see my toes, because I don't think we'll be wearing, you know, any flip-flops or shoes or socks in heaven, right? And I'm going to look at my toes, and I'm going to stand in the grass, okay, barefoot, and I'm just going to dig my toes into the grass and pinch myself to make sure it's real, you know? Do you have visions of heaven, what heaven may be like for you? You know, let those things ponder in your mind, because it's those things when God says, eye has not seen nor ear has heard, God has given us a hope for something to look forward to. Amen? We want to be in heaven, so don't miss out in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, Paul states here, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, such a one that was caught up into the third heaven. Friends, we're going to see tonight that there's actually three heavens that God talks about. There's actually three heavens, okay? Now, when we come back on tomorrow or Monday, we're not going to have a quiz. Why? If you come tomorrow, I'm not going to be here, right? So if you want to have a quiz without me, go right ahead. But tonight's our last night, so there's no quiz, all right? So check this out. There's going to be three heavens. It's not going to be on a quiz. You just have to take your notes for yourself tonight. Notice this. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verses 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Now, it sounds a little confusing here, but God divided waters and created a heavenly firmament, okay? And then there was an earthly firmament. Now, turn with me, if you will, to verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them," where? "In the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was" what? "God saw that it was good." Now, the first heaven is the firmament by which God divided the waters, which is what we call planet Earth, okay? The heavens, we are in, if you will, space, right? We're floating around on this ball here, and God calls this Earth, and what he first created, he separated the firmament, and the first heaven would be the Earth that we stand upon. Okay, the second one would be the heavenly place. Remember, God says in there in 16 that he puts the stars and the sun up there in the heavenly firmament. And then it only makes sense that the third heaven would be actually the place of glory where God resides in his holy city. Amen? So, man has left the first heaven, and they've got shot out of our atmosphere, and apparently they've touched on the moon, so they have gone to the second heaven. The only heaven that we have not yet gone to is the third heaven, and that's the one that we are looking forward to. Amen? I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see what that third heaven looks like. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, the Bible states this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Notice what it says here. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a" what? "A place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be" what? "Also." God, Jesus, went to heaven, and he's preparing a place for you. Just for you. Now, if any of you married, or you don't have to answer that. How many of you prefer not to be married? No, you don't have to answer that either. Any of you ever argue over paint, what color your walls are going to be? You know, I have just learned after 20 years of marriage, yes, ma'am. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Okay, yes. Yes, boss, you know, kind of thing. Whatever color you want, if it makes you happy, I'm happy with it too. But in heaven, God's going to have a house just for me with my colors and my likings. Amen? God has a place just for you. Just for you. Think about that. Okay, let that sink in for just a moment. God is concerned about your welfare, your happiness, and the joy that you will experience throughout eternity. Isn't that wonderful news? God has said, "I will go and prepare a place for you in my house," and guess what? You're going to get a mansion. Wow. Yeah, let that sink in, all right? He says, "If I go a place, I'm coming again, and that where I am, you may be also." There's going to be a time when we are in heaven with Jesus. We will be living face to face with God throughout all eternity. We are going to be in his presence as you and I right now are in each other's presence. Isn't that wonderful? Let's move on here. "We shall be changed." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 50 through 53. The Bible states this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all be" what? "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on" what? "Immortality." You know what God is giving to us when he comes a second time? He's giving us bodies that will last forever. Amen? Come on, get excited with me. He's giving us bodies that will last forever. They will never die. And not only that, he says that in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, in other words, as fast as you can blink, your body will be changed. Amen? If you don't have hair, you'll have hair in heaven. Okay? I can imagine, you know, again, my imagination goes all over, but I feel like when I get to heaven, I'm going to be something like Samson. I'm going to have a six-pack. I'm going to have big muscles, and I'm going to have long, wavy hair, and I'm going to whip it around like that. The wind's going to blow in my face, and I'm going to have a glorious body like I've never had before. Amen? You know, all these little fat wrinkles on my body, they're going to be all gone. And all the wrinkles on my face, all gone. Amen? I don't have to worry about getting old. Amen? Somebody once said on my Facebook, Roger, is that gray hair you're getting? I said, oh my goodness, oh Lord, I can't be getting old. I don't want this to happen to me. When I get to heaven, I will no longer have gray hair. Amen? Friends, we are going to be transformed. We are going to be renewed. Amen? And I can't wait to get there. So, look for the tall guy with the big muscles and the long hair when you get there, because that's going to be me. Amen? That's going to be me. All right, so this mortal was put on immortality. Friends, we will never have to be afraid of death ever, ever, ever again. My mother, who now is 70 years old, I could not believe it. Her birthday is July 12th, and mine is July 13th. So guess what she was doing on her birthday? That's right, she went in labor with me, right? And on top of it, I think there was an earthquake too. But anyways, God had a plan for me. Anyways, my mother, God bless her, she had a son that drowned in a river. She has a powerful testimony of the grace of God who can heal hearts in time of loss. And I believe that when she is transformed and renewed, that she will meet Dougie again, and I will get to meet my brother for the first time. Amen? These are the wonderful things of hope that we have to look forward to. Amen? Let's move on here. We shall all be changed, the Bible says, for our conversations in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. God will change us like his glorious body. When Jesus was resurrected from the ground, friends, or from the grave, he was transformed, and his figure was changed, and there he stood in all of his perfection, without the taint of sin upon him, nor the marks of death upon his face, but he was transformed. And friends, you and I will be transformed like that too. Amen? Come on, somebody ought to be saying hallelujah, because we are going to be totally and completely changed. What do you say? Let's move on here. The Bible says, how will our new bodies differ from what we have now? Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall. I believe, brothers and sisters, that we will continue to grow throughout heaven. I believe that Adam and Eve were probably 14, 15 feet tall, and we're just little midgets compared to what the human standard was, or the human stature was in heaven, and eventually we will grow. But notice what also he's going to do. He's going to bring healing. He is going to bring healing. Friends, no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, right? If you have a hard time getting up those stairs, you won't have a hard time when you get to heaven, right? If you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, you're not going to have a hard time when you get in heaven. Everything is going to be transformed. Then the eyes of the blind shall be what? Open. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Friends, God is going to restore everything back to its natural order. Amen? All right, come on now. We got to make this an exciting night. I mean, this is the best night. All right? Bible says also, how will our new bodies differ from what we have now? Isaiah 33, 24. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am what? No more sick days, brothers and sisters. Don't have to call in sick anymore. The people that dwell in there shall be forgiven their iniquity. We will never, ever, ever again throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity ever experience the guilt and the shame as a result of sin. Isn't that wonderful? We will never have to worry about the result of sin, nor how we have to remember our iniquities, nor the sins that we have committed while we are still yet alive. What will our new bodies be? We will exchange this mortal body to immortal. In other words, exchange it for death for life. We will be like his glorious body. We will grow up. No more blindness, no more deafness, no more people that cannot walk, no more people that cannot speak, no more sickness, no more weeping or crying. Thank you. I can't believe you guys aren't excited about this now. Come on. Where will we live? Revelation 21, verses 1 through 2. The Bible says, sorry about the And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of God, from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Friends, we are God's people. Amen? And God has a holy city that's coming back for you and I. The New Jerusalem, according to Revelation 21, 16 through 21, says that the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles square, and its length is the same as its height. And then it goes on to say, the walls are about 20 stories high, made of solid jasper. The city foundations are precious stones, forming every color of the rainbow. 12 gates made of a single pearl, and the streets of the city are pure gold. Amen? Can you see now why God says we don't need to put jewelry on? Because we're going to be walking on it in heaven, right? We don't have to worry about what we wear here, because when we get to heaven, we're going to be walking on city streets of gold. We're going to be having houses that are made out of pearls. We're going to have every form foundation of every stone that was ever created under heaven. Amen? What a glorious place that will be. Friends, there's no need to worry about how poor or how rich we are. Because if you're poor here, you are rich in heaven. And if somebody says you're poor, you say, brother, I'm richer than you are. I have my own mansion, and I have a city street. I have a sidewalk that's made of pure gold. You are rich in Jesus Christ, right? We got to start thinking like we're in heaven, because that's where we're going. That's where our home is. We continue on here. Revelation 21, 23 to 25 tells us that there's no more darkness and there's no need of the sun or the moon. Why? Because God's presence provides the light for eternity. God is light. And we will not need the sun or the moon, because God's glory and his presence will be there through eternity. And guess what? You and I will be living in that presence, living in that light, living in that glory throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, forever and ever and ever. Friends, when Moses went up to the mountaintop to talk with God, he came back down and everybody said, "Whoa, Moses, your head looks like a nightlight. Put something on your head because it's too bright." Moses absorbed the light of God. A human being absorbed the light of God. And friends, can you imagine what we are going to be like throughout eternity? Being in the very presence of God, we're just going to be glowing, you know, full of brightness in the very presence of God throughout eternity. Bible goes on to say in Revelation 21, 27, "There shall no wise enter into anything that does what? Defiles. Neither whatsoever worketh what? Or maketh a lie. And they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." In other words, friends, there's not going to be an abomination. Neither anything that lies. Nothing that will defile. Friends, we don't have to be worried about lies. We don't have to worry about deception or abomination. All of that stuff is forever gone. Amen? Amen. Bible says about the new heaven and new earth, Isaiah 65, 17, 19, 21 through 22, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be what?" In other words, I think God's going to reformat our brains. Amen? We're not going to remember the former things. It says, "Nor will they come into mind. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Isn't that wonderful news? God will reformat our brain somehow so that we will forget the form or the past. And guess what? Those thoughts will never, ever come to our minds again. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful stuff, isn't it? Isaiah 65 again continues on to say, "And they shall build houses." What are we going to do? We're going to build houses. Now, wait a minute. God says he's going to prepare a mansion for us, but we're going to build houses. Wow. We're going to have two houses. One, we're going to have a house, a mansion in the city, and another, we're going to have a house that we get to build. Amen? Any of you like to play with Legos or Lincoln Logs or anything? Right? Your imagination, let it go wild, right? The Bible says that Adam and Eve, they dressed the Garden of Eden with vines, okay? That was their home, was nature. And apparently, they were there to establish that. Could it be, friends, that our houses could be made out of waterfalls and plants and whatever, you know, whatever our imaginations can think, right? And goes on, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." We're going to eat in heaven, amen? You see what we're going to eat from? The vine. So, friends, we're not going to have a barbecue in heaven. There's not going to be a drive-through McDonald's in heaven. We're going to go right to the vine and pick the fruit right from the vine, right? So if we're going to be a vegetarian in heaven, we might as well start practicing now, right? And get ready for that. Because when I get there, I don't think any of us are going to wake up and go, wait a minute, where's McDonald's at? Where's Burger King? Where's the barbecue? Where's the pig pit? Come on, I'm hungry for some beef and ribs, right? None of us are going to say that. We're going to reach out for the vine and eat those precious fruits that come straight from the tree. Amen? One of my favorite fruits is a mango, and I'm going to have a mango orchard in my backyard. My other favorite fruit is a banana. I have to have a banana every single day. If I don't, life just ain't right, okay? Every day, got to have that banana. I love mangoes. They're kind of hard to come by, so I got to live with it. So but when I get to heaven, fresh mangoes. Never had a fresh mango off a tree, and I can't wait to have that fresh mango. They shall not build and another inhabit. Praise the Lord. We won't have to rent our house out to anybody. We don't have to worry about paying a mortgage. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Friends, you will enjoy the work that God gives you in heaven. You won't wake up and go, man, I got to go to work again today. What a bummer. You know, oh, I got to check in today. Oh, man, what do I got? Friends, you will find joy in every moment, every second, and every opportunity that your eyes are blinking throughout eternity. Nothing will be discouraging. The new heaven, the earth, and according to Isaiah 65, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring will be with them. Wow, God is going to bring our children, our families, and reunite us back together. I am really discouraged. My mom and dad live clear across the United States of America in California, and I only get to see them so often, you know? And they have to fly out here, and we have to visit each other. But in heaven, we are going to be next to our family members. For some, that could be a bad thing, but for most of us, it's a good thing, right? Shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. Friends, I want you to look at this very closely. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Listen to me very, very carefully. How does God communicate to his people here on earth? Remember, we talked about this. Okay, that's one. Okay, but specifically is each. What is the gift that he gives us? The Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't it amazing that God can communicate to every single one of us right here, right now? Right? Now, the problem that we have right now is that we have sin. And sin causes separation. So we don't see the fullness of God. But when we are in the presence of God without sin, we will behold his full glory. Could it be, friends, that through the agency of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to communicate with God at a distance? And that we will hear his voice at a distance? Friends, we have no idea what heaven will be like. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat what? Straw, my friends. The lion will be a vegetarian, amen? The bullock and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Friends, there will be no more National Geographic stories watching the crazy lion chasing the gazelle across the fields and all that stuff. We'll never see that ever, ever again, amen? Let's go on. Isaiah 11:6-9, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid or the goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The little child shall lead them, a lion and a lamb. Friends, in heaven we can play with the animals and not have to worry about them chomping down on us. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The suckling child shall play in the hole of an asp. In other words, God is saying that child can play with the poisonous snake and he will never get hurt. Amen? We don't have to worry about that anymore. The Bible goes on to say, they shall not hurt nor destroy my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. We go on here, Nahum 1:9. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He make an utter end. Affliction, catch this, affliction shall not rise up a second time. We know once and for all, God will completely destroy suffering and sin. Never, ever with a worry or a doubt in our mind that we'll have to experience that. The new heaven and the new earth, no more painful memories. Painful memories are forgotten. We will live forever. We will build houses. We will enjoy the fruits of our labor. We will have instantaneous communication with God. All animals will live in harmony. Affliction shall not rise again. Isn't that wonderful? Great stuff. What about the tree of life? In Revelation 22, verses 1 through 2, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Water, friends, is coming out of the throne. All right? It's coming out of the throne. And then it says, in the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. So there's a tree of life that bows over, if you will, or branches on either side. The stump is on either side. The river flows right through the tree of life. And then it goes on to say, which bear 12 manner of fruits. The tree of life bear 12 different kinds of fruits. Of one is a mango. It has to be. Goes on to say, and it will yield her fruit every month. Apparently, every month, we may get a new fruit. Isn't that amazing? 12 fruits every month. And then it goes on to say, or a fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Friends, we will ultimately and finally be healed. Every time you and I take a bite from the tree of life, we recognize that God is the one who has brought us there and will be reminded throughout eternity. It's because of him that he healed us. We won't remember our sin, but we'll recognize in the tree of life that it's God who put us here in the heavenly places. Amen? Let's go on here. I can only imagine 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love them. Friends, we can't even imagine what heaven will be like. Let that sink in for a little bit. We can't even begin to imagine what God has in store for us. There are things that we just have not seen yet. Right? Let's go on. The Sabbath in heaven. Isaiah 66, 22 through 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come and worship me, says the Lord. Friends, we will be keeping Sabbath in heaven. And we will come to worship God every single Sabbath. Amen? Now, friends, let me think about this here. When I try to sing here on earth, it's not a good thing. It's not pretty. In fact, I don't like to sing because I make everybody cringe, right? But when I get to heaven, look for the guy with the long hair, the big muscles, and the six-pack, because he's going to be singing nice and loud. Amen? He's going to have a new voice, and he's going to praise God, and he's going to be able to sing, and nobody's going to go, stop your singing, right? We are going to be praising God in heaven on the Sabbath. Amen? On the Sabbath and every Sabbath throughout eternity, we will come together to honor our God. It continues on in Revelation chapter 5, 11 through 14. It says, behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. In other words, we can't even number the amount of angels that are in heaven. Saying with a loud voice, notice what we're going to cry out all together in harmony. On the Sabbath, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Friends, we will communicate that and echo that throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, that this is the God that has saved us. This is the Lamb that has redeemed us from the foundations of the world. We continue on, and every creature which is in heaven, every what? Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard saying, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever. Every creation, every creature will worship God. And friends, we will fellowship in that worship together. Let's continue on. We can't even begin to imagine how many angels there will be. How many will be there? Some say, well, there's only going to be a few number, but anyways. Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 10, the Bible says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations, kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. How many are going to be there? A great multitude. Apparently, there's so many that we can't even begin to count. Friends, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. Amen? Lots of people that are going to be in heaven. How about you? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be there? I hope you do, because I want to be there. Now, I'm going to get myself in trouble, and I don't know how God's going to work this out in heaven. But when I was about fifth grade, something like that, I was in a library class. Remember the Dewey Decimal System? And we had to go learn that. Anyway, so the librarian sat us all down, and we had story time. And she would read from the Giving Tree and all those books, you know. And she told us, was talking to us all about heaven one day. I'll never forget this. And as I don't even remember the teacher's name. But we all was sitting there, you know, on the floor, knees, legs crossed, looking up at her, you know, runny noses and drooling and messy hair. And she made this appeal. She said, let's this group right here, all of us, plan to meet in heaven around the tree of life. Just this group right here. For some reason, that just stuck in my mind. So I have a date. Well, let me rephrase that. I have a meeting place with my librarian teacher in heaven around the tree of life. You guys want to make that same deal here? Let's plan that this group right here will meet around the tree of life, and God will schedule it for us, and we can all gather together, and we can all look at each other's smiling faces, and especially her. She'll be grinning like this, you know, when you get to heaven. And we'll all gather together and just listen to how God, and let Jesus tell us a story. Amen? You guys want to be there with me? Any show of hands? All right, let's plan to be there. So I got a lot of appointments because I've made this pact with other people. But it's gonna be fun, all right? So I'm looking forward to it. So don't let me down, all right? Make sure that you're there, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us into again a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There is a place that God has in store for you that will never fade away. When you get these possessions, you don't ever have to worry about losing them. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know what the writer's saying here? Look at this world as dung. Okay? Dung is worthless. I haven't found anybody who made anything worthy out of dung. But God is saying, look at it as dung compared to heaven. So what do we have to lose when we let go of the things here? Nothing. Right? So hold on to heaven and hold on to it tightly. What do you say? Let the things go here so that we can be prepared for heaven. Notice this in Joel chapter 2, 25 through 26. God states this, I will restore to you years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Do you realize, friends, the years of suffering that we have gone through in this life, God will make up for it when we get to heaven. He will restore all things. Amen? He will restore all things. I want to share these wonderful things from you from the writings of Ellen G. White. We mentioned her today. Notice this in Spiritual Gifts, Volume 2. Notice what she states here. Okay, remember we talked about a prophet. What do? They encourage God's people, and they point people to Jesus, right? And so let's see if some of her writings do that for us tonight. Notice what she states here. Trials cannot be recalled. We tried, and she's talking about when we get to heaven now, okay? We try to call upon our greatest trials, but they look so small compared to the far more exceeding eternal weight of the glory that surrounds us that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, hallelujah, heaven is cheap enough. Isn't that a wonderful passage? It's like we can't even recall the old things, and we'll just say, this was all worth it, you know? Notice this. Jesus will explain. This is what I love this. Long have we waited for our Savior's return, but nonetheless, sure is the promise. In other words, he will come again. Soon we shall be in our promised home. There Jesus will lead us beside the living stream flowing from the throne of God and will explain to us the dark providences through which he led us in order to perfect our characters. Have you ever wondered why you went through a dark experience, or why this hardship was upon you, or why that you had to go through this, or why there was loss? Jesus in eternity is going to take us by the hand and walk us by the still waters and explain to us exactly why we went through those experiences that we could not understand. Amen? To me, that is so wonderful that Jesus knows everything about me, and he will be able to explain every detail in heaven. And when I look back to this earth, I will try to bring to remembrance the painful memories, but I can't recall them, because as I see the glory of heaven and the glory of the Lamb and the glory of God and the glory of all the angels, I will try to recall to my mind, but I can't, because heaven is so glorious. And I will say, heaven is cheap enough. Amen? Heaven is cheap enough. These are powerful things, friends. Jesus has in store for you and I great things. The question for you and I tonight, do we want to be there? Do you realize there are people who actually don't want to go to heaven? There are. And it could be that some of you are those people, one of those people. Yeah, people, not me. You remember what I said about worshiping the beast power? If we allow the things of the world to creep into our lives, and we let the flesh live and survive, we are ultimately worshiping or still living in Babylon. And those people that are living in Babylon have rejected the Lamb of God. You remember? If their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then outwardly, through their lifestyle and their choices, by making themselves their own God, they have rejected the Lamb of God. So there are many people at the last day. The Bible says that every knee will bow to Jesus. Every knee, and recognize, even Satan himself will bow down and recognize that God was just and merciful in all his leadings with all of humanity, with even the angels of heaven, every creature. God led and had intention with purpose to bring salvation. But people will bow down and recognize that God, Jesus, was right in this judgment, and this is why I deserve what I deserve. Friends, don't be one of those people. Friends, I want to share this song with you. I think it's wonderful. When the saints go marching on, notice what this says. We are traveling in the footsteps of those who've gone before, but we'll all be reunited on the new and sunlit shore. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints, don't make me sing, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, you want to be in that number? Come on, let's sing it now. And when the sun refused to shine, when the sun refuses to shine, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, when the moon turns red with blood, when the moon turns red with blood, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching on that hallelujah day, on that hallelujah day, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the trumpet sounds calls, oh, when the trumpet sounds the call, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, some say this world of trouble is the only we need, but I am waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed, when the revelation comes, when the revelation comes, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Friends, do you want to be in that number when the saints go marching in? Do you want to go marching in with Jesus? Do you want to go into that city street of glory where the pearly gates are and walk past that? I hope you do. Don't let anything, brothers and sisters, hold you back from heaven. There's a man who was sitting on a rooftop waiting for his salvation. Helicopter come over, and he had his bag of goods on his shoulder. Helicopter came over in the flood, and while he was sitting on the rooftop there, they let the ladder down. And as they let the ladder down, he grabbed onto the ladder, and they started to take off and to save him from his death. But he was holding onto this bag of goods, and as the ladder began slowly slipping from his hands, as the helicopter was pulling away, the pilot and those that were in the helicopter yelled down, "Let go of the bag! Let go of the bag!" And he said, "I can't let go." And he kept trying to hold on for his salvation that he could be saved and not die in the flood. And as the helicopter began to pull away, they said, "Let go of the bag." And he refused to let go. And as the helicopter pulled away, he fell to his death and drowned in the great flood. Well, as the story goes, I'm not telling there's life after death, but I hope you get the point here. He comes to St. Peter's Gate, right? Well, let's just forego all that. Forget I even mentioned it. He comes to the angels, and as he's about ready, he's coming to heaven. All of a sudden, there's Gabriel. There's the man standing there. The angels are looking at him, and they said, what was so important to you that you had to hold on to the bag that you wouldn't let go? So he opens the bag and shows it to the angel. And the angel starts chuckling a little bit. He says, hey, Gabriel, come check this out. He looks in the bag, and they all start laughing. And the guy says, what's so funny? And they said, why are you carrying pavement in your bag? You would die for pavement? And he fell to his death all for pavement. Come on. Does that take that? Do I have to explain it now? Pavement in heaven is gold. The riches of this life he was holding on to. And God was saying, why are we holding on to the riches of this life when we can have all eternity? When we can have heaven? Friends, do you want to be in that number? Let's march together to heaven. Amen. The decisions that you have made night by night, the standards by which you begin to adopt in your life, make good use of them, friends. Don't let man, don't let your boss, don't let your husband or your wife or your children, don't let money, don't let your education, don't let your talents, your beauty, your whatever it is in this life, don't let Twinkies or ding-dongs or whatever it is, the soap operas, the internet, don't let those things keep you from heaven, because it's just not worth it. When we get to heaven, no matter the challenges, no matter the persecution, no matter the trials that we've gone through, we'll be able to look back and say, heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough. So this is my last appeal, because tomorrow morning I head home. And if I never see you again, where are we going to meet? In heaven, but specifically, Tree of Life, Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, I don't know, whenever. Wait, we don't have meetings on Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. I hope to see you there, and I hope you plan to be there. But I want you to do one last thing for me tonight. One last thing. I want you to stand for Jesus tonight. And how I want you to do this is not because of the glorious presence that God's going to give us, but because you want to stand for Jesus because of the love that he has for you. And if you want to follow in that love, what if God doesn't give us heaven? What if we don't even live forever? But to experience God in his love that he has for us, that is the greatest blessing that outweighs all the gifts that God is going to give us. Don't you think? The love that I experience from God and his compassion that he shows to me and the display of his care that he gives to me far outweighs the gifts that he's going to give me in heaven. Friends, don't waste time anymore. Stand for Jesus and allow his love to work in your heart. And friends, don't let anything stand in your way. I don't know how else more I can stress this. So, my question to you tonight, would you be willing to stand for Jesus right now and say yes to Jesus? Lord, I want to allow you to work in my life, and I want you to bring me home. If that's your desire, then will you stand with me right now as we have a closing prayer? It's a wonderful privilege that we have to study your word, because the Bible is a way of life. It's a standard of truth. It tells us how to live, how to walk, and how to move, and how to breathe, and how we ought to live our lives, and how we should demonstrate ourselves to the rest of the world. I am so thankful for the wonderful gifts of heaven, a place where there's no more suffering, sickness, or sorrow, no more death. Tears will be wiped away, no more crying. All those things are gone. And so, Lord, today, help us to lay aside every weight that binds us to this earth. Lord, if sometimes we think in our minds that what's the big deal about this little thing? Maybe it's the little things, Lord, that can bar us from heaven. You are asking us to surrender everything and be completely transparent with you. So if there are things in our lives, if it's family, if it's our children, it's our loved ones, our money, whatever it may be, Lord, show us, lead us to the foot of the cross. The most important thing we want here tonight is that Jesus, that you live out your life within us. And help us, Lord, to have an imagination that sees heaven in its glorious splendor. Lord, I think that you have given us enough information that our imaginations just can run wild with what heaven may really be like. And so, Lord, today I thank you that in every trial and every circumstance, you are with your people. You love them desperately, and you're holding their hands. You're carrying them as they go through dark trials on this earth. And even though we have tears and suffering in this life, one day, Lord, you will restore all things, and you will repay all the loss and the damage that we have ever experienced in this life. I'm looking forward to the day when my brother, who had died in a river, will be reunited with my mother. I'm looking forward to the day when I will see family members that have died and now are in the graves. I'm looking forward to the day when I will see people who cannot hear and their ears be open so that they can hear. People that are blind, that have never seen sunlight, will for the first time see the glory of God. I'm looking forward to that day, Lord, when you will transform these bodies that are accustomed to sin and suffering and accustomed to shame and sorrow and pain. And you will take that all away, Lord. Help us to desire in our hearts more than ever to be in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you will plant a date in your calendar in heaven, that you will bring the Joy of Troy people that are right here, right now, bring us all together under the tree of life. And I'm sure, Lord, there's going to be an eternity to make that schedule happen. And so, Lord, as we cry out, as the great writer of Amazing Grace said, when we have been there 10,000 years, to think, Lord, that we can live forever. We may be 170 here, and when we get to heaven, we can say, I'm 10,170 years old. Lord, may that joy be in our hearts tonight. May we stand true to you. And Lord, if we don't meet here on earth, may we meet in the new earth. And may our joy be filled. May our lives be filled tonight. And may we pursue the joy of serving you so that we can be with you through eternity. Bless each person now as we march towards Zion, as we march to our heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen.